Hi, this is Raj Sharma. I'm the founder of Public Spend Forum. Before we get started with today's episode, I'd like to thank our sponsor, iValia. iValia is an e-procurement platform that enables the entire procurement process for public sector as well as private sector clients. iValia is working with states such as Ohio, Arizona, Maryland, and cities such as New York, British Columbia, as well as federal government clients such as the Government of Canada. Please check out iValia's website at iValia.com. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of our podcast series, Public Procurement Leaders. Here we have the honor to speak with leaders from government, from private sector, from academia, you name it. They're really teaching us how public procurement works, what are their experiences that we can take back and apply within our own organizations, and how to truly drive impact across $10 trillion in government spending all over the world. So today we are lucky to have someone I respect a lot, and I've had the opportunity to meet just a few years back, Marquita Gillespie. Marquita is a true public procurement leader. She has a distinguished background working within government as well as an advisor on various boards. Today we'll also talk to her a bit about her work on talent management, which is quite extensive, and also a topic that I'm very interested in, women in procurement. And so we're really lucky to have Marquita on today. You may also know that she retired recently after a 26-year career at the City of Tucson, where she was Director of Procurement. And she's also, in relation to her work on women in procurement, the director of the Global Council for Women in Procurement. So welcome, Marquita. You know, as I mentioned, you have a long and distinguished career in public procurement. We are always curious. Nobody really, not many people have gotten into procurement, by design. So if we could just start off, if you could just tell us a little bit about, how you got into procurement and what you enjoy about it the most.
Well, I'm definitely not one of those people who knew anything about procurement, even as a profession. And so this really just started when I was a senior at the University of Arizona. And as all seniors do, we were going through the process of trying to seek opportunities for employment. And because I was a business administration student, really did not have a particular area of business I was focused in on. So I was pretty open to different opportunities and walked into the office where they posted. In those days, it was an actual physical piece of paper, and you had to go into the office and saw this advertisement for an interview on campus with a director of procurement. And I thought, wow, what in the world is that? Read through the job description and thought, that sounds kind of interesting. And had the fortunate opportunity to meet with a gentleman, Wayne Casper, who was the director of procurement at the City of Tucson at the time. Mm-hmm. And sat down with him, and he told me about the job. And, I didn't necessarily understand everything he was talking about, but I was picking up on things that I thought, that sounds like something I would enjoy doing, and went through the processes and was selected, and did start the first year kind of just trying to figure out what this job was, because at the time it was a job. I didn't know enough about the profession to get a sense if this would be a career for me. But really took to the type of work that I was doing. And I was fortunate to work for someone who was an advocate himself in the profession and encouraged growth and development in the profession and an understanding of the profession beyond doing a job in an office. And really just the following 26 years, I always had opportunities to learn and get involved, and I think that's what really drew me to the profession beyond the types of things I was doing in the work. It was really being able to be engaged. And so I was very fortunate to kind of grow up in the profession in that type of environment.
I'd be curious. Could you tell us a bit more about, you know, you said you really enjoyed the profession, and so what, you know, what was it like? What is it about procurement that, you know, really rung true with you, and you felt like you were doing something meaningful?
I think at my core, I am someone who likes to help people solve problems. And certainly I enjoy the different skill sets that I had to use in the profession and in my position at the city, whether that was analysis, whether that was writing, whether that was, you know, working with teams. And really probably the thing that interested me the most was being able to sit down with someone, talk to them about a problem they had, and help them figure out how to solve that problem. And sometimes solving that problem was very simple. It was, you know, acquiring a particular product or a particular service. Certainly as I grew in the position, the problems became far more complex, culminating really probably in the most challenging problem that we had to fix at the city in my career was the modern day streetcar project, which was a, you know, multi-million dollar federal, state, and local project that involved hundreds of people, dozens of contractors, and was a highly complex project. And I had the opportunity to be a team member. So beyond just contracting for something, I was a team member helping the team address issues and solve problems. And that was everything from putting in the streetcar system, traveling to see how they were building the streetcar, working through training and media, working with politicians. So it was the small and the large scale problem solving that probably drew me into the profession the most.
Great. Well, I think you just highlighted an example, and maybe whether it's this example or another one, be curious to dig a little bit to understand. I know you mentioned you had a chance on the streetcar example, you to actually ride the streetcars, figure out what the requirements might be, work with politicians. Could you talk about one of your favorite examples? Maybe that's it, about, you know, how procurement allowed you to make a difference and an impact, and what were the kind of the, you know, the qualities that led you there to kind of drive that value?
The streetcar definitely was one of the highlights, I think, of really utilizing all your experiences and skill sets to work with a team. And I mean, that project even helped me grow personally as well as professionally, learning how to deal with very complex issues and sometimes very difficult situations, dealing with people who you may not normally be able to interact with. We mm-hmm. had, you know, international representatives of companies that we were dealing with. So you had to learn about different cultures and how they do business. And so I think whether it was the streetcar or even just in the profession, anytime I was able to engage in something that was complex and really had to not just do what I already had in my background, but learn new ways of doing business and new skill sets to do a better job in whatever my role was. So I think, and that even in small purchases and in smaller, less complex contracts, sometimes issues would come up that we really didn't know how to solve, and we'd have to get creative to work through it. And I think that's kind of, again, what I really was drawn to, even situations where we have contractors who are trying to do business with the city, and they may lack knowledge or they may lack ability in certain areas to really be successful. And sometimes just sitting with them to help them see where there are opportunities for them to grow as a company, grow as an individual, change their business approach to doing business with government. That too was even enjoyable for me, because it was always helping people be a better version of themselves in various opportunities.
Great. If I could ask something about, another piece to the streetcars. You said, you had to work with contractors and kind of educate them, et cetera. Could you talk a little bit about that, like whether it's there or in general? But, what kind of challenge did you have there? And, in working with companies and specifying kind of the requirement, educating them, and what did you do to kind of overcome that?
I think it's really important for procurement professionals to be mindful that you aren't just representing an agency when you're in your role. You have multiple stakeholders, and really having a sense of the partnership that you want to be successful. And part of that partnership is contractors. Making sure that they're equipped and they understand what the expectations of government are, but also making sure that government is meeting the needs of the contractor. Mm-hmm. In the streetcar, we often had issues with schedule. And if you can imagine, you're building a 4-mile segment through the most congested parts of the mm-hmm. city, whether it's downtown, the university area, the arts district, the historic district. And so when you have dozens of contractors all touching the same project and trying to maneuver through not only congested areas, but events that would be taking place. Obviously, you don't want to build through the university right when school is going on, and you don't want to build through downtown when you have some major event that's planned. And so is bringing everybody to the table and putting the problem out there and saying, okay, we've got to be creative, because sometimes the typical ways that government approaches work doesn't work. And so you have to draw out ideas from people and then facilitate a discussion with them to find out what's the optimal solution, not what's the best solution for government or what's the best solution for the contractor, but what's the best solution for everybody involved that meets the objective of the project. And so that was always something mm-hmm. I think I enjoyed, not only enjoyed it, but I think I had a skill set that enabled me to serve in that role and be successful.
And that's great. That's great. Actually, that's a good example, and brings me to my next question, which is, you highlighted this capability or the skill set of being able to bring together these stakeholders, get kind of the information you need, et cetera. But, one of the questions I always ask is, what are the, two or three most important capabilities, whether it's organizationally, or you could talk about it as an individual skill set wise, that you believe are really critical in procurement to be successful?
And as I think about that question, I'd say I'd probably give the same answer, whether it was speaking to what's important for a procurement operation or even the organization as a whole, but also as myself, as a professional. It really does go back to the relationship building. This is a profession about service, and therefore it has to be a profession about relationship building. Yes, there's a lot of writing. Yes, there's negotiating. Yes, there's, process involved that you need to work with. But to me, the most important aspect of it is dealing with individuals and working generally with teams. And so relationship building, knowing how to facilitate, knowing how to negotiate and interact with other parties, I think is mm-hmm. probably one of the most important skills. And I think initiative. Now, I'm not an expert in really anything that I've contracted for or that my staff has contracted for, but I think when you have initiative, you take the initiative to learn, to be inquisitive, to constantly work on developing yourself personally and professionally, and that is going to make a substantial impact on how well you can perform your role. And mm-hmm. then having a vision and a strategy for any opportunity that you approach so that you know how to work toward a successful outcome. And I think those are really the characteristics. I've always said I can take anybody from any walk of life and train them how to be a contract professional if I see certain skill sets in them. So it doesn't matter if you went to school for business. I've, over my career, hired people who had degrees in theology and marketing and education. And so what I looked for in people were the things that I felt would make them successful once I taught them how to do the procurement process and what the procurement function was. If they had those skill sets, usually I found they could be successful.
Great. I think that's really good advice. And I would tend to agree with you in terms of kind of initiative. And I think I kind of think about it as lifelong learning also. And that's required to be successful in any profession, especially nowadays. But that kind of segues into kind of another question I have is, you've been a true advocate for talent management, whether it's, all the time you invest in training and developing others, and, the work that I've had the kind of pleasure to be involved in with you around, public procurement competencies and certifications. Just curious, tell us about why you care so much about talent development and talent management.
Well, as we started off on this conversation, it's because we just simply don't have the reach into the education system to really, at this time, enjoy the luxury of people coming to our profession because they intended to be a public procurement professional. I think we've made great strides in the profession, whether it's getting out there into the colleges, into the high schools, even into the grade schools to educate students on what procurement is and what kind of opportunities there are, as well as partnerships that the profession is developing with the different universities to even build new programs of whether it's supply chain management or public administration specific to procurement. We're making great strides, but we have so far to go. And so I think it's important to get out there and help people understand that the opportunities to serve your community exist in this profession. And we want to connect the dots for you. If there's a student I'm talking to that says, I just really like this. Nine times out of 10, I can connect whatever it is that they enjoy doing to our profession. And that's what I love about it. It's tremendously diverse. No two agencies are alike. Really, no two positions are alike. And so I think if you have a particular skill set or a passion in a particular area, you can really carry that through to a very successful career, not just in an organization, but more importantly in the profession. And that's what I always encourage professionals to do. If you really enjoy something, find a way to make the profession better. If you're really into marketing, help an agency, help your procurement operation learn how to market themselves and educate their customers on the value of procurement. If you really enjoy writing, well, look for opportunities to capture a policy manual, a procedures manual. If you're really into public speaking, well, guess what? Training might be your thing. And so I think that's what's important is to help people find their passion in our profession and then help them be successful in that.
That's great. That's great. And I think another passion that you seem to have is some of the work you're doing around women in procurement. And could you speak to that a bit? Because we know I've had the pleasure, personally of knowing lots of women leaders, whether it's in procurement or in other areas. And also through this podcast, interviewing a number of them. I'd be curious, about your work on women in procurement, which I believe is very meaningful.
Well, it's something that really just grew out of a conversation of three friends. And I was talking to a couple ladies who I respect and admire, and we each had been going through some challenging situations, and we were just being sounding boards for one another, listening, being supportive, and offering ideas. And we all kind of paused and laughed and said, gosh, you know, this seems like it would be a great conversation to have with a much broader audience. And it was, you know, at a time when the whole Me Too movement was happening, and not that I necessarily saw it as the same as that movement. These were different types of issues, but it was a connection to women having an opportunity to network and mentor other women. And so we just thought about having a panel discussion, and it developed from there. And I suddenly, 2 years later, find myself being involved in this movement of women in the procurement profession, really reaching out to one another and sharing stories and helping learn from those stories. And we continue to have these panel discussions around the country. I was fortunate to be asked by the Global Council of the Advancement of Women in Procurement to get involved. And that's a newer organization, so they're still developing, and I'm looking forward to getting involved in what they do in the future. But right now, my focus is really to help women reach out to other women and establish some mentor-mentee relationships, and also work with NIGP in particular, who is working to develop a mentorship program. And although that won't be specific to women, I definitely will be looking for ways to utilize that program to build the network of women who do have unique challenges in business. And I think it's important for them to have professionals that they can look to and someone they see themselves in, and that person's successful, and I can learn from that person and I relate to that person. And I think that's what we need for women out in the profession.
That's great. And I think, you know, I've seen through some of the initiatives I've worked on, and each segment, right, you interact with has its unique set of, opportunities, challenges, issues. And it's great that you're kind of focusing in on that. And especially when it comes to women in procurement. And like I said up front, I think we have so many talented women in the profession already, but we need a lot more. And so I really hope that, you know, some of your efforts and others will really also help us attract all those talented women into the profession. So thank you. And we'd love to kind of, you know, share more, any thoughts and ideas you have on this in terms of how people can get more involved in some of the work you're doing.
Yeah, I think it's really important, and this isn't just for women, but certainly I encourage women is get involved. I think I've encountered so many people over my years in this profession, whether it's teaching or consulting or just networking with people in different forums, that have tremendous skill and a lot to offer. But as I talk to them, they're not getting involved, and there's something that's holding them back, whether it's their own perspective of themselves that, oh, I wouldn't be able to do that, or maybe their organization isn't supportive of them getting involved. But I always try to find a way, again, to help them connect an opportunity to an interest. And so be bold and get out there and try things and build your network. And be curious and look for ways that you can expand your opportunities beyond a particular job that you have in an organization. And sometimes those opportunities will be in your own organization, but sometimes they'll be on a broader scale. They'll be in your community, or they'll be in the profession nationally or even internationally. And so it's building some confidence in people. And I think often I see with women, That's something that they're allowing to hold them back. They're not seeing the opportunity and not connecting what they have to offer to those types of opportunities. So it's breaking down those barriers, whatever those barriers might be for individuals, and letting them see that there is absolutely something out there for them beyond what they see today for themselves.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I think, you know, that was one of the things I was going to ask is about some of the unique challenges you see for women in the profession. Is there anything else that you would highlight?
I think what we've heard from women and a lot of the panels is that, you know, there's the natural family dynamics that sometimes prevent women from being able to pursue opportunities, whether that's being the primary caregiver for their children, sometimes being primary caregiver for elderly parents, and certainly appreciating that those are priorities in life. And we're not suggesting that those become secondary to opportunities in the profession, but it's helping them see where there are different ways to engage with the profession that are very meaningful and very important for the profession that may not take them away from life situations that they may have, and also helping them learn how to deal with things they may encounter, whether it's in their organization or in their own personal life, that, you know, if you have individuals who are holding you back or not allowing you to pursue certain opportunities, how do you deal with that? And I know in this day and age, sometimes, at least for me, sometimes it's just shocking that there would be disparate treatment of individuals, but we see it in all levels and in all walks of life. And women certainly are not an exception to that. So we do still see places and circumstances where, because they are women, women are being held back and not given the same opportunities. And that's certainly a goal, is to decrease those situations and really help individuals work through them and find appropriate ways of dealing with the situations by seeing how other women have dealt with those. And that's what the panel brings, is those real life experiences of, here's what I encountered and here's how I handled it in a very positive, proactive way.
That's great. I'm sure we all can learn from that, you know, whether we're men or women, right? What can men do to change the workplace and provide those opportunities, which I would definitely, you know, suggest. I one book I just wanted to point out, it's funny we're talking about this, but, you know, a book came out today, somebody I respect, it's her name is Reshma Sajani, and she started now what's a global organization called Girls Who Code. And she just published a book. I think it just came out yesterday or today that others may want to look into. It's, I believe the title of it is Stop Trying to Be Perfect, Learn to Be Brave, or something like that. We'll get the exact. I think it's it corresponds with Marquita, what you just said earlier. And that, you know, I think the point she's making is that she's seen this expectation. And as a male, I probably shouldn't be talking about this because I probably am not the appropriate person. But at least what I read was that, you know, there's this expectation of, you know, women being perfect, but boys are always tried to be, men are taught to be just brave and go out and try things. And we need more of that. And you don't need to be perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that title. And to your point, Raj, this is an opportunity for everyone, right? It might be specific to women when we're talking about certain challenges, but we need the men in our lives to help women be more successful, sometimes in spite of themselves. So when we have women who are holding themselves back, to your point, because they think they need to be perfect in something, or there's a perspective of a particular male who is not open to equal opportunities, we need other men to help them see those things. And for me, My mentor when I first came into the profession was a man. And that's why I say I was so fortunate, because he really encouraged me to take advantage of opportunities and showed me opportunities in the profession, and allowed me to be successful from a very early stage in my career. So it's not just women who need to help women. It's men need to help women be successful as well. But we need men to help other men see that perhaps some of their views are inappropriate in this day and age, and build more men like the mentor that I had, like you, and many, many others who are out there helping women be successful every day.
Well, great. Well, this is, I think I'd love to continue talking about this, and maybe we can do that, just focusing on this topic, because I do believe it's very important. So thank you again for, you know, your leadership on this.
Oh, my pleasure.
So as a final question, what advice do you have for, you know, whether those coming up in the profession or your peers and others leading the profession?
Well, back to the relationship building, really encourage people to start building their network early in their career, and build that network in lots of different areas. Don't limit it to people in the procurement profession. Build the network with leaders in the community. Look for people that you aspire to be similar to. We all want to be unique, so don't try to be just like somebody else, but look for those individuals that you see will help you become a better professional and better in your position, and get involved. Look for ways to get involved in your organization, in your community, in your professional association, and be intentional about how you get involved. Don't just get out there and get involved in everything or anything. Look for things that resonate with you, because that's a particular interest and passion you have, or there's a problem that needs to be solved and you believe that you would be a valuable contributor to solving that problem. And you mentioned this earlier, be a lifelong learner. That's one of the things that I always enjoyed about my time at the city and in this profession. I've never been at a place where I thought, well, yep, I've kind of learned it all. Even today in retirement and working now in my own consulting work, I'm constantly looking for new things to learn about, and the profession changes, the industries that we're working with change constantly. So it's important to always look for new things to increase your skill set and your knowledge about. And then again, be creative and be curious. We cannot solve the problems that our communities have with solutions and approaches to business that we learned 25 years ago. And that's one of the things that's challenging about the profession, but that's certainly one of the things for me that I always found exciting about the profession is no two problems were alike, and therefore there were no specific ways to approach every problem. Sometimes you really had to get creative and be inspired by your network of stakeholders and your network of resources to draw different ways to help teams and help organizations solve these problems. And then really look at what's required of this profession and make sure you know how to make yourself a valuable asset, whether it's to a team or to an agency or to the profession. Find ways to help you be that sought after resource, because that's what's going to set you apart from others. And as long as you look at this profession as an opportunity to help people, then hopefully you will never go into your job thinking, oh, I gotta work 8 to 5 and then I go home. It's hopefully something you're excited about going to and making a difference, and then having that sense of accomplishment at the end of the day.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, Marquita. I totally agree on all these points, and Again, I can't thank you enough for being on today, and I would love to have you back. And you know, and for our listeners, I would definitely encourage to connect with Marquita, and we'll post some of the pieces that she mentioned. So we look forward to having you back again, Marquita, and thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Look forward to talking with you again.
Great. Thank you.